welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. I'm Dirt, he's Sprague. A day off, not day off yesterday for us. No show yesterday, but we were out at Langdon for a great time.
Did you see that?
Yeah, we had a little duck beef stuff going on yesterday.
A lot of beefs out there yesterday, yeah.
So we did our 9 a.m. segment.
Yes, live from the golf course.
And then our show time was done. And so right around the time of would have been Danny and Patrick's or Patrick and Danny's show.
Firm of Harris Emery.
Yeah,
yes.
So Patrick and Danny. They wanted Danny to go live because Patrick wasn't there yet.
And where the hell were you, Patrick? He was riding in on Suk's sidecar on his motorcycle down I-5.
I already was riding bitch on that motorcycle. Hold on tight.
Hold on.
And Danny goes live. Did you see what happened?
No, I did not.
He talked for like 4 minutes and then he lost the connection.
Never oh, back we lost the connection?
And he was like, you know what, another thing. Hello?
Hello?
Yep. Cut out.
We've been there on a live show before. That's happened. When you don't have a hard Ethernet hookup to be live on the air, things can be a little spotty at times.
Poor Casey.
Yeah. We're not doing the best stuff for this segment anymore. Check that. We are doing a best of still for this segment. 4 minutes later, though, so good luck staying on the clock and piecing that all together. That's a great point. We had a great time out of the Fan Golf Classic. Hopefully you played this year. If you did not, you missed a wonderful time. You know what it was?
Fantastic.
It was fantastic. We had a great time. So if you missed it, sign up next year and come hang out with us at Langdon Farms. Lots still to get to in the next 2 hours of the show. Mail sack coming up top of the hour, 1 hour from now. We have to get our mail sack on. I'm not missing the mail sack. We didn't have a show yesterday.
No stat or story, huh?
No stat. Dude, stat or story takes a back seat to the mail sack.
I tend to agree with that.
I'm not anti-stat or story. I'm okay with stat or story.
Yeah.
It's not a mail sack.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to that. And our friends at Sparta TOT who were out there yesterday.
Yep.
They are wonderful sponsors of the mail sack. So we'll get to that at 9 o'clock. Any questions? Welcome. 503-864-6326. There's a handful of other things around the Blazers that I want to get into. And we'll slowly do that as this hour goes on. Mm-hmm. But what happens when you don't have a show on Tuesdays is that you kind of end up missing on certain things. And so a couple of things on the NBA that I want to touch on that I found interesting, at least, and we could have asked our guests from Minnesota this about a half hour ago, but they made a very interesting trade, and it was prior to the Giannis deal going down, and it made people wonder, it kind of turned into the Windhorse thing of like, now, what are they doing this for?
I certainly had that for at least 20 minutes, like they're going to jump into this thing.
They basically traded away a draft pick with Julius Randle to get rid of Julius
salary.
Randle's contract, who has been a good player, but not, he's had his issues in places in terms of his shooting ability and whatever, different questions about how he fits and all that. He was obviously a part of the Cat trade years ago to Minnesota. They send him away, and he's going to go to Brooklyn now. And Minnesota cleared up some cap space, and just them, they're a very interesting team for me. They were in back-to-back conference finals. They have a guy who we all love watching. We love his personality. One of the most confident NBA players, I would care to say, out there in the league right now. And then this year, they don't quite get to that same level. You have this OKC San Antonio kind of power struggle going on at the top of the West. Mm-hmm. And how Minnesota fits into that and what they're going to do now. Because I had the thought when they made that trade of like, ooh, is this a third fiddle for a Giannis deal, and then the reporting came out that Giannis would have been willing to sign the extension in Minnesota and the aftermath of him being traded to Miami. Of just the thoughts on where that goes, because Ben Beacon can tell us that Ant is happy there and he doesn't want to rock the boat. That's always how this goes. 5 years ago, Giannis was happy in Milwaukee.
2 years ago, happy in Milwaukee.
Dame was happy in Portland until we said, you can play alongside Scoot Henderson and Shaden Sharp. And then he said, excuse me, what? We're not trading those picks to help me win now? Like, this can turn very quickly of just where they go from here. And is there a big fish out there? Do they jump into the Jaylen Brown sweepstakes? What's the next move for Minnesota?
I don't know. I was thinking about, because when they made the Randle deal, who didn't do the Windhorse fingers,
yes,
right?
Why would you do that? You dump the salary.
Well, the only thing I thought is I remember them wanting to get him at the deadline. They were one of the teams that was reportedly trying to go after him. Us in Portland, or Minnesota and us were trying to go after Giannis. So I did do the Giannis thing, and then Giannis ends up going to Miami. They signed Io to the 4-year, I thought that was a great deal. 4 years, what, 112?
112, I think it was, yeah.
Good deal, good business. You get out of the Julius Randle contracts, you free up some money. It sounds like they're going to move Naz Reid into the starting lineup, which, he's been a great asset for them as an undrafted prospect.
Mm-hmm.
I then started wondering, Giannis with Ant Edwards in Minnesota, you're probably having to give up Jaden McDaniels.
Yes.
And maybe a Naz Reid.
Yes, I would.
So
I would
is your team anything. Better?
I think it's the same question as Miami. Can you be smart enough around the edges to build up around it?
Well, but you have at least Ann Edwards. That's a little, I mean, you take Ann Edwards over Bam.
Without a doubt.
And then they have Ayo, who I thought really came on and showed, one, who he was, because nobody saw him play in Chicago, if you weren't a Chicago Bulls fan. And so, like, you had him, you have Ann Edwards, you have Giannis. Like, that's a pretty nice little trio you got going there. So I was just kind of more wondering, like, what would Giannis mean on Minnesota? But now that they're out of it and Giannis is in Miami,
you got to feel a little bit of pressure right now, right?
What do you feel pressure on?
The idea of you're not going to beat, I would tend to think, you're not going to beat San Antonio and OKC as constructed. You'd certainly need another
piece. How many teams in the West would you say can do that?
None of them right now.
Okay, so like, do all those teams feel the pressure with their superstars on their team?
I would if I were running that organization of, I don't know where this is going to go in the next 3 years.
Like, are the Lakers worried with Luka? And I don't know if they're going to get Austin Reeves. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But like, are they worried Luka's going to ask out of the Lakers? I don't think they do.
I think it's a difference with LA and Los Angeles and the Lakers than Minneapolis. But maybe you get to that point. I wouldn't tend to think that happens in LA. I also think their ability to say LeBron's either going to take a pay cut or he's going to retire in the next year or two, right? Like, one of the two things could happen. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to be making $50 million. Who has a higher chance of saying, hey, free agent, come on down and play for us?
Right.
Then, you know, it's LA over Minnesota. And so you just have to be more creative, as we know in Portland, when you're a market like Minneapolis and you got to figure out how we're going to go get another piece. And I don't know who that piece is. I don't even know who else is available. Jaylen Brown's the main name that will get thrown around. Anthony Davis doesn't make a lot of sense for them.
Jaylen Brown would be giving away same prospects we just talked about.
Yes.
Right? Because Boston would want to just fill out the roster really well. And I think that would... Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid be good pieces in Boston.
Right, and then they're spreading the wealth around a little bit, and you move on from Brown.
And, you know, after that, and we're kind of in this conundrum too. Like, after Jaylen Brown... Is it Anthony Davis?
That's the next question we're going to ask. Yeah.
I don't know where if I like the fit in Portland, but skill-wise, you can't argue that if he plays, right?
How
like nobody would refute that.
Yeah.
And then after Anthony Davis, who is it? Because I don't think Lauri Markkanen's coming down the pipeline here, bud. I think Utah's... Yeah. You can make an argument Utah passed us yesterday. I don't think it's egregious. I don't think it's crazy to say it. The way Dylan Harper played... And I'm almost wondering, because of the way the league has always been more younger than it has been older, but the way that you're seeing young guys play now so quick, Dylan Harper blew my mind. It was probably the second biggest takeaway from the finals was, one, the Knicks winning it.
Oh, my God.
And then Dylan Harper being the second best player on the team that most of us probably say was better. They just weren't ready to take it.
Yeah.
And he was a rookie.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of wondering now, like, when you have an elite skilled prospect, if Darren Peterson isn't going to be out of his mind and say, I'm sitting tonight in Minnesota because of creatine overdose, I'm just going to assume that the 6'5 athletic freak with a handle is going to be very good as a rookie, paired with Jaren Jackson Jr., paired with Keontae George, paired with Lauri Markkanen. Like, if you're Portland and you're looking at the hierarchy of things, I know I'm getting away from the Minnesota thing.
No, it's okay. It's a general NBA segment.
I really told myself yesterday when Darren Peterson got picked, Utah might have just passed us right there with that pick.
Yeah.
Until we make whatever that move is, because I don't believe that running this back and banking on development is going to make them better. I don't know how we sit in the hierarchy of all this. You're worried about Minnesota and Ann Edwards, and it's a fair thing to wonder. I'm like, what are we going to get if it's not Jaylen Brown? Because after Anthony Davis, then who is it? Is it Herb Jones?
Right, who maybe won two first-round picks. Is it four first-round picks for Trey Murphy? Is that the move you do?
I don't know. I don't know how it stacks up, but it already feels like teams that were below us have at least caught up with us or are better than us, and I haven't even seen them play yet, but that's where my mind goes.
And that's not even counting Dallas, who has Cooper Flagg going into year two, and Kyrie Irving, who is back this year, who was not a playoff team, and they were behind you in the standings.
I love their pick, too, and I think he's going to understand the system right away because he just played for the guy.
And for obvious reasons, right? And the Utah point I'm with you on, Peterson's skill level is scary for the next level and what he can do.
Yes.
If he's able to screw his head on straight, and there's been guys, and we talked about this going into the draft, there's been guys over the years where we ask the question about them in college and it ends up being nothing. Like, to be fair, and I'm glad you brought up the player in that stuff, there were people who questioned Dylan Harper going to the NBA. He played at Rutgers. Did he even care?
Jimenez Bailey didn't make the tournament.
Didn't even make the tournament. Like, people saw him warm up and said he's not even trying hard and this isn't going to translate to the NBA. And I think he had the most impressive rookie performance in the postseason that we've seen probably since Magic Johnson won a title all the way back in the day for L.A. So he is in rarefied air and immediately became one of the best young players in the NBA who the Spurs are going to build around. And I got a feeling that Peterson has a great chance to do the same thing in Utah. Mm-hmm. And if he does, it's funny to think back to all the jokes we made about the Jazz and their tanking and it not working and ha-ha, Danny Ainge, why do we say this and that about him and treat him a certain way? Well, if he landed the gem of this draft at the number 2 overall pick,
yeah,
after getting Jaren Jackson Jr. and the other pieces that they built together, that thing's good. It's going to come together nicely. And so that's where Minnesota's interesting. It's where Utah's interesting. And it's where we fit in is interesting because, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong on this. We just got done with the Giannis sweepstakes in which you always want to believe. You want to have that 5% of your brain that's, God, how cool would that be, right? It's like buying a lottery ticket on your way home from work. Like, man, what would I buy? I'd quit my job. What would I do? Mm-hmm. But in reality, you know it's not going to happen. And that's kind of what Giannis was. Now that we're going to pivot and Jaylen Brown is not a part of that trade, my mind is going to go to the same place with Jaylen Brown. Now, I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to be the guy who says, man, I never saw that coming. Somehow we pulled that off. I don't understand how a trade computes. I don't understand how that makes sense. You'd have to have multiple teams involved. They want nothing with Jeremy Grant or Shaedon Sharpe. That does nothing for Boston. I don't know why they would be trading him for draft capital if that's the move you're going to make.
It depends where it goes, right? Like, who goes and what goes is interesting because I agree. I don't think it could be a
straight across Portland to Boston trade will not happen.
Well, I just don't really know why it would make sense. It could happen because they have
for
a relationship.
For us, we'd love to have it happen,
but
sure.
Why would Boston want Jeremy Grant and Shaedon Sharpe?
And four first-round picks. They
might want the picks. I don't know if they want the player, right? You don't want the Jeremy Grant contract, even though it's almost over.
You want Drew Holiday back?
They might be interested in that. I don't know. But if you got another team, you need a team that needs other stuff. Like, do you bring in a Brooklyn? And you reroute Shaedon to Brooklyn, picks to Brooklyn, picks to Boston. You get Jaylen. You know, I don't know how you make it make sense.
I just don't see it happening.
You have to rework it that way. Yeah. I would be too. I'd love to see Jaylen Brown here. Like, that's my number one. If you could get somebody this offseason to be a smashing success, I don't think you pass OKC. I thought they got better last night too. They got the Mara kid from Michigan, the big center. Mm-hmm. So they matched San Antonio with some height stuff. I really like Sturts from Iowa. He's a bucket getter. Played really well this season. Should be a good shooter for them. I don't think you caught either of those teams. But to me, it's not about that next year. It's about
taking a step.
Yeah, taking a step. Now, I don't know how to really quantify that other than seeding and wins or even just the look and feel of it. But it's more like, who is it going to be that they go get? Because I'd love to get Jaylen Brown. I think the Jaylen Brown segment is out there of like, what the hell is Boston doing? Brad Stevens saying, oh, he's a big part of our future.
Like, dude, you've
tried to trade him twice.
You've been dangling him in trades for years.
Actually, three times. Yes. Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, and now Giannis. You've tried to trade him three different times, and he's done nothing but help you win.
Seems like that's a divorce that's going to happen. I just don't see us being a part of it.
Well, as everybody's noted, wait for Jaylen Brown's next stream. What's he going to be on that?
What's he going to say?
Because he's going to say whatever he wants to say. Brad Stevens ain't telling him what to say on that live stream.
No.
So
no.
It's more about like finding that piece that makes sense, and the pick stuff continues to be fascinating to me. I see Blazer fans tell me it's gold. I see other people saying Miami's picks are actually better for Milwaukee than their own picks. So I still don't know how to properly gauge the pick stuff with the draft stuff. There wasn't a whole lot of trades outside of teams moving down or moving out.
Right.
So you have no big movement there. Who is it? I don't know. And I don't know how you do that in the West to keep up with some of the juggernauts. Minnesota's, the Lakers. Let's not forget the Nuggets, oh, by the way, who did lose in the first round, but they still got one of the best players.
Yes, they do.
In the world. I believe San Antonio will get better. And I think OKC's going to be roaring right back into the thick of it, if not the best team in the regular season. So it's going to be tough. You got your coach. Who's the guy that's going to help you get better? while some of the teams below you have gotten better.
It seems like the two big names on the board for Portland will be Anthony Davis and Trey Murphy, as we've all kind of known that those two names were worth monitoring. What's the asking price for each of them? Who knows? Again, I don't see the Jaylen Brown thing happening. I don't understand how that would make sense for Boston.
I don't blame you for getting off of that.
Yeah, that was always about him going to Milwaukee and Milwaukee saying we'd rather rebuild through draft capital. Then it makes sense. That trade from Milwaukee to Portland can compute in my head of, all right, you take an expiring Jerami Grant deal, you get a young player in Shaedon Sharpe, and here's all your draft picks back. Good luck with your tank. We'll take the player to win now. Boston is going to, if they're going to trade Jaylen Brown, which I wouldn't be surprised if it happened because of what you talked about, he's not going to be happy. He's going to say stuff on a stream. They were going to trade him for Giannis Antetokounmpo. They were going to trade him for Anthony Davis prior to the injury riddled seasons or Kevin Durant. Those are the kind of players that he's in the conversations with.
You know who's available, by the way?
Who's available?
Kevin Durant.
Hey, let's go there. Maybe that's the trade they make.
Finally,
he ends up going into Houston. That actually would kind of be a trade that made sense for both sides to a certain extent. We all know that the pivot will be Anthony Davis or Trey Murphy. What the package would be to get those guys, I don't know. Another guy thrown out there yesterday, and they want two first-round picks for him?
Hold on. Do we know that's the pivot? I don't know. I think we're running with the pivot. The assumption pivot is
I just don't know who Anthony else is available Davis. From a sizable name other than those guys.
Well, look, I'm asking you to choose between two guys you probably didn't watch a whole lot last year, and most people didn't watch because the team sucks. Would you rather have Herb Jones or Trey Murphy?
It's a guy I was going to ask about. New Orleans are listening to offers on Herb Jones. They want two first-round picks for Herb Jones.
I would do that.
You would do that.
Yeah, but I'm notoriously not good on gauging trade stuff.
So his numbers last year, he played 56 games. To your point, I did not watch a single game of the Pelicans
you
last
shouldn't
year.
Have, yeah.
Unless they, how many times they played the Blazers,
two,
those ones
three,
I might have had a chance to watch. He averaged 9 points per game.
Yeah.
3.5 boards, 3 assists rounding up. He shot 31% from
three.
Yeah,
you know what? I take it back. That feels like Robert Covington 2.0 right? for us. So
the year before,
seems a bit steep.
Last 2 years.
How old is he?
He's 27. He's 27. He's played in a total of 76 games the last 2 years. So injury concerns, does that exist here? Maybe not.
Not a full season.
And he shot the last two seasons 30.6% from three and 30.9% from three. I don't like another lengthy defender
two
is
firsts.
Great, but for two first-round picks when we desperately need offense.
Give me Trey Murphy.
That doesn't make any sense. I'd rather trade four for Trey Murphy, and I don't really want to trade four for Trey Murphy.
There is going to – look, you can poo-poo this idea all you want, and I don't blame you. The history of it says I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There is a pivot, but I just don't know if it's not Anthony Davis.
Right.
And if you miss out on, because remember the Hawks reportedly were shopping.
Yes, somebody might outbid you for Trey Murphy.
But yeah, like if you miss those two.
Where do you go? And this was my whole point of watching the Giannis thing wind down and him finally getting moved. And now knowing that it's not to Boston, because that was going to be your immediate pivot was Jaylen Brown from Milwaukee. Can we get in on that?
Right.
That's just out the window for me. That whole idea is gone. And now it's basically Anthony Davis, Trey Murphy, and then who's plan D? Who's plan E? How far down the list are we going to go here?
I mean, you would be at plan legitimate, D.
Yeah.
And at that point, you'd be at plan D, E, and I don't know who that. You know they have a list.
Yes, of course
I'd
they
imagine
do.
You do doing your due diligence in that role.
Maybe there's another player available that we don't know about that they've called and the other team's willing to listen on them. Like, you got to find a team who has a player that is a win-now type of player, but they're just in a different spot and looking to acquire.
You need to find your next Denny Avdia if you're not
assets.
Getting Anthony Davis.
Yes.
Who is the Denny Avdia that's lurking out there that I had heard of him before, but I didn't know what to make of a ceiling of him. I watched him this last year in Washington, here in Portland.
Right. By the way,
it's pretty good.
Did Washington jump us yesterday?
I'm not ready to go there.
Okay. But DeBonta seems like a freak.
What do you think of the Trae Young deal? I knew he'd get paid.
I'm not the biggest Trae Young guy, but yeah.
When he opted out and there was like, what an idiot. I'm like, guys, do you not know how the business of that league
right.
works?
You think
they
he's rolling the dice?
Getting more money. Duh.
I didn't know
212 was on the table. A Supermax?
There's only one guy that I remember turning down a contract extension and then it backfiring completely, and it was Dennis Schroeder. Didn't he have a deal in place that he said no to?
But
and
the deal,
gambled?
No, see, no, I don't want to play. I want to be honest about that. When he turned that deal down, it was like, dude, you're not getting more than that.
So people said in the moment.
It was his agent. His agent was like, we can go to the market and
get more. And that did not happen.
Not even close. He lost like $70 million in that deal.
He got screwed.
He got absolutely hosed. 212 is, that's a choice. That's certainly a choice. That's a lot of Trae Young.
He's going to have a lot of money for hair follicles.
Alex Saar DeBonsa. I mean,
you count Trae Young.
Young, yeah. And right now, Anthony Davis is there.
They're going to move on from him, but what are you going to get from him? Like, if that's a trade with Portland, you throw in a Shaedon Sharpe or a draft pick that you can continue to build around. It's funny how quickly these things can change in the NBA. That's the point I'm trying to bring up, because I'm with you on Utah with the Peterson pick. Well, see, Memphis is in a little bit of a different spot.
They still have to prove it, by the way. But my brain did go there, dude. And I'm with you on the Mavs. I think the Mavs could have absolutely passed us, too. I'm not overlooking a healthy Kyrie Irving.
Incredible player. Went healthy.
With second-year, pretty damn good rookie guy in Cooper Flagg, paired with, Derek Lively's healthy now.
Yeah.
They got Merez Johnson Jr. You want to talk about lobs galore and athleticism. Dallas has it. Those are two teams right there. The Suns are interesting. I know they were technically ahead of you, but you won the play-in stuff. I don't know how to make a Phoenix at all. And then you got teams like the Lakers, the Clippers, we'll see what the Rockets do. If they just run it back, fair or not fair, the Nuggets did lose in round one. Like, there's just a lot of question marks I have around the Western Conference. I largely think you're still stuck in the same spot with some of the teams below you maybe passing you up until we are proven otherwise.
It'd be interesting to watch how it plays out. Where will Portland pivot now that Giannis is off the board? I tend to think that Jaylen Brown is off the board. Hopefully I'm wrong on that one. Where's plan D? Where's plan E? Where's plan F? Where are they going to go from here? An interesting offseason is going to heat up relatively quickly now that the NBA draft is almost over. For some dumb reason, we have the second round tonight, and then free agency will begin in just a matter of days. And so this is all going to kick up pretty quickly. Let's get to one other angle around the Blazers, and then we'll dive into some football stuff coming up towards the end of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM The Fam. All right, welcome back in. We'll get into some football stuff coming up in a moment. Mail sack at the top of the hour. Enjoyed this one. People are now speculating, where will the pivot be? If it's not Anthony Davis and Herb Jones, who both are controversial for different reasons, right? Like AD, for the thought of he's not durable. Also, how does that fit with Donovan Klingon? Both fair points.
Not well is what I would guess.
I would tend to guess that as well. I'm still willing to roll the dice on it because I don't think you have to give up draft capital in order to do it. And it's a one-year roll the dice of Jeremy Grant and Shaedon Sharpe. Like, if that's truly all it takes to get him.
If Shaedon hit in Washington,
it'd be pretty funny.
You would never be able to discuss trading a prospect.
Never again.
The rest of our lives.
Never again.
Jermaine O'Neal and Shaedon Sharpe hitting. Nope, it's over.
Everybody has to stay here for 10 years before we trade them. but people are speculating, people on Bob on the YouTube, what about Michael Porter Jr. or Zion?
They've kicked around Zion in the past.
They have?
I don't know if they go that direction. Michael Porter Jr. would be fascinating.
He had a good year.
For a really bad team.
Somebody got to score.
Yeah.
And he scored.
Yeah, and the Nuggets won with him.
They did. They won a title
they won without him.
They did not win without him.
They did not win without him.
They got a bounce in the first round of the playoffs without Michael Porter Jr.
Look, would we be a little conflicted that he's at the anti-vax rally the day before a big game? Maybe.
He's at a Flat Earth Society meeting.
Yeah, probably leading. He's the
pro-Andrew Tate crowd.
The keynote speaker for the Flat Earth Andrew Tate Society, Michael Porter Jr.
I don't know if we've ever had a coach-beloved, player-not-beloved combo like that, if that is to happen. Because I do believe Mike Anori is going to be a fan favorite. We would be very conflicted on old Michael Porter Jr.
Coming up next on Joe Rogan, we've got Michael Porter Jr., Portland Trailblazer. Well, there's going to be some stuff said in this one.
But did you know he averaged 24 games, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, shot nearly 37% from 3?
How many games did he play, though?
52 games this year.
Yeah, he got...
Was that load management, or was that tanking, or was that...
He got banged up, but okay. I think I also got to the point where it's, let's just keep sucking. You know what I mean? There's 12 games left, Michael.
Why are we playing you?
Just sit out. He's certainly been bantered around. I'd be curious to see.
He's got a big contract.
He does. The fit makes sense with what they need. If you want Jaylen Brown, Michael Porter also makes sense from a positional standpoint.
What do we need? We need shooters. We need scoring.
Also, Ant Simons is available.
Don't.
Did you see that he might go to Miami?
I don't care.
Ant Simons on minimum deal in Miami would... Oh!
He's not going to play a lick of defense.
No, don't need him to. Get buckets.
Yeah. Dude, if our offseason is re-signing Anthony Simons, I'm boycotting next year.
Well, I thought C.J. McCollum was in play, to be honest with you. I don't dismiss the idea of any former Blazer.
If that's a legitimate thought, and the number of Blazer fans who will be like, yes, I'm so happy you're back, Ant! I'm boycotting next season.
Can you already see the headline, The Wrong That Was Righted?
Yes. Yes, I can. Zion, if you're asking, did you know last year Zion played in 62 games?
Yeah. Zion had a good year, actually.
Averaged 21 points, six boards a game.
He actually stayed relatively in shape and yoked most of the year.
62 games. That's the second highest total of his career.
No off-the-court porn issues during the season. He's like, not... he wasn't photographed sleeping in a random woman's bed.
No, he was not.
He was, you know, he was keeping it.
Are we buying that stock low? Is he on the come up? Is this the moment? You know, old Zion Williams.
Is he 25?
He's 25 years old.
That's nuts.
He's 25.
What are his career averages? I'm assuming you have his reference up.
His career averages are 23.8 points per game.
Yeah.
6.4 rebounds, 4.1 assists, 32% from three, 59% from the floor.
Charles Barkley said, and I've agreed with it a couple years ago, his rebounding numbers are so embarrassingly bad. You cannot be that big and athletic and only average six a game.
Tend to agree with you.
I'd like to see that number ticked up, but is... Dude, he's such a physical presence. 23 points per game is not nothing.
Yeah.
You know, those aren't bad names to throw at us. If you're talking about plans D, E, F,
right.
G,
and A-I-J-K. The asking price won't be quite as high. Like, Zion's not going for five first-round picks.
If Herb Jones is, too, what's Zion asking for? The Pelicans are going to play high on Herb Jones and his 9 points per game.
There's a balance there, though, isn't there?
Like, if Zion's 2 years younger than Herb Jones.
Yes, he is.
And he's a better player.
The ceiling is certainly higher, but there's also risk involved in that, right? Like, all the stuff he's been through.
Well, I don't know about his ceiling. I think he's at his ceiling. I think Zion is who Zion is.
Well, can he stay lean and can he stay durable for a stretch?
Certainly.
Like, that can make a ceiling. Not necessarily being a better player, just being more available, I guess would be my thought on the ceiling. So there's a couple of interesting thoughts on the pivots where they go. Nobody has any clue how it will play out, but we should be getting answers relatively soon. And at least we finally have a head coach. We got that going for us.
Yeah.
One last bit on the Blazers. This is kind of a double whammy from yesterday and then leading into today. We have more turmoil in the reported negotiations over the funding of the renovations of the Moda Center.
Yep.
Yesterday, this started to get bantied about and debated. The Blazers were supposed to send a representative, and they did not send one at the last second. The Oregonian reached out for comment on why that happened, and they did not have an answer on that. Now, the aftermath of that is that Tom Dundon will be in front of business leaders in Portland today, highlighting the arena deal and what they're going to put into it and what they want it to look like and the goals and the expectations and all of that. So for the first time, we have Tom Dundon making a bit of a rare appearance in Portland in front of business leaders. I don't know if anybody from a media standpoint will have access to that. I don't really know how any of that works, but I'll be curious some of the tidbits that we get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
We also had a letter written from Keith Wilson, who absolutely lit into...
None too happy that Keith Wilson.
The city council members and Multnomah County leaders. And just to give you a gist of it, like, he took a steaming dump over any sort of pushback against this and the ideas that we don't have a return on an investment and that the city or the county shouldn't be paying for this. He is... there's this thought of taking money from the Clean Energy Fund and using that to help fund from the county perspective, also the sale of the Blazers. As we highlighted, they're getting somewhere in the range of $45, $50 million just in the tax dealings from the sale of the Blazers from Jody Allen to Tom Dundon. They're going to use that. And so it just turned out to be another interesting day where we're getting this actual debate going on now in real time in front of, you know, city council members and in front of the county about how this is actually going to look. And the mayor, to his credit, I don't know what the public perception of Keith Wilson is and what his approval rating is. But what I will say, at least from this standpoint, I'm glad at least we have somebody in charge of this city who is taking this very seriously, who was there's this guy, and I think he follows our show page, but he lives in Brooklyn.
Eden Krolowicz?
Yeah, he started this, like, don't get ripped off, Rip City website. And then in the article, it turns out that this guy's trying to basically contract himself out to the city for a fee.
He wants to provide analysis of recent arena renovation deals around the U.S. and help suggest that Portland could wind up giving too much for too little in return. So basically, he wants to be the analytics for them.
Yes, and he had a bid in front of the city. The Oregonian finds out about this. They reach out, and he's like, well, actually, no, I'm not going to work with the city. It's a conflict of interest. Like, everybody's just, every pig's trying to get fat off the trough on this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the way that politics works. But look, I don't know much about Keith Wilson. Kudos to him, at least, for taking this issue seriously, because it's a very important issue for me that we get this done and we don't lose the Blazers. But we got old Tommy D in Portland today, man, talking to business leaders.
What did you make of County Commissioner Megan Moyer, who slammed the proposed use of the tax proceeds for the money?
Yes.
She said it could be spent on other public services. She said the county is expecting $78 million deficit in its general fund over the next 4 years. And she said, quote, well, what these funds provide are services to our most vulnerable. They are seniors. They are people with disabilities. They are people who cannot access health care. They are children. Please, Tom Dundon, strike a fair balance.
Look, I certainly understand the argument that Dundon should be putting money into this. The pivot and counter to that is he doesn't own the arena, as we have highlighted a million of times.
It's very odd when people react and they're like, pay for your own arena. It's like he
doesn't
not
own
his arena.
The arena. It's our arena. The Blazers sold the arena to the city of Portland for $1. You got to they have paid for everything for 40 years. When was the arena built? 1993, 94, 92, well, whenever it was. Like yeah. The Blazers have paid for literally everything that has gone into that. Paul Allen, I should say, paid for everything that went into that. They sell the arena for $1 to the city. You now own it. It is your responsibility. Now, how does the I think one of the biggest things that they need to figure out, and I have no clue how this stuff looks behind the scenes, like when there is a concert at the Moda Center.
Yeah.
Where does that revenue go?
So here it is. So okay. The Moda Center attracts more than 1.4 million visitors a year and generates more than $600 million in regional economic activity
yes.
every year.
The hotels that are booked, the events that you have.
Moda Center event goers often patronize local restaurants and bars and stay at local hotels before and after attending an event, spurring economic activity. 2/3 of visitors to the Rose Quarter come from somewhere other than home or work.
Yes.
And 40% go directly to other establishments after they visit the Moda Center.
So pretty big. Like this whole idea of what the return of a, what's the return on our investment.
I got those numbers, by the way, that's at the return. K2's website.
Okay.
So that's in the article for the funding stuff. They give out the raw numbers of what it means economically every year. 1.4 million visitors, 600 million to the region, and then 40% going directly to other establishments and 2/3 of visitors coming from somewhere other than home or work.
Yeah, look, I give Keith Wilson credit for trying to get creative with this clean energy fund and saying let's take some money out of that because technically part of the arena upgrades will be modernizing the making it a more energy efficient building.
And Climate Pledge did that.
Climate
right?
Pledge
That's how
did
they
that.
Built that. Yeah.
No doubt about it. And you know, the other report of money from the county side was going to come from an existing 2.5% tax on rental cars.
Yep.
Which, all right, I don't care. And the $45 million or a chunk of that or $50 million from the tax proceeds of the sale again of the Blazers from Jody Allen to Tom Dundon. So I'm glad that this seems to be kicking up a little bit and we're starting to get debates. The mayor is driving this home, how important this issue is. I thought it was a pretty bad look for the Blazers of all the things to be critical of them yesterday to have these hearings or whatever you want to call them, these meetings going on. And the Blazers said they were going to be there and they no-showed the meeting. That to me isn't a great look. You didn't have a first-round pick in the NBA draft last night. You were literally doing nothing. You could have been at these meetings.
Not even a press conference.
Not even a press conference. Like, so you could have been there. Now, the pivot is that Tom Dundon will be there today, and I'm glad that he will be there today.
I think that's their response. Like, you can say that that's not a good look, and I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah.
I know Orem said as much. But, like, if Tom Dundon's showing up and he's going to speak or at least be in attendance to talk with these people once it's done, I think the rebuttal for them is, well, today is the day for them, not yesterday. But, to your point, still could add a representative.
It doesn't have to be Tom Dundon. It could have been anybody there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look.
Could have been your president. Could have been anybody.
I think part of the Tom Dundon stuff, aside from contracts and cheapness, is I'm curious to see how the organization kind of runs in other areas. Like, you know, the good thing I think talking with listeners at an event like yesterday is you get to kind of get a feel of what people do and what industries they're in. And
we heard some interesting things about relationships with the previous iteration of ownership in the Blazers front office.
Yeah, you know what's not being written about is how truly, truly awful the last ownership administration was for the Blazers in the business sector.
Yes.
I mean, we heard from people that have literally, like, they're doing courtside tickets and big package
spending
deals.
Spending hundreds of thousands
hundreds
of dollars
of
with
thousands,
the organization.
And it's like they didn't care about them at all. They didn't make any concerted effort to show.
Were treated horribly.
Their appreciation. They wouldn't reach out. They wouldn't accommodate. Like, there's a lot of wild things to be hearing. And when you hear that, you're like, well, where is everybody writing about that with the Vulcans? Didn't see a lot of that written up, but if it was Tom Dundon, it'd be the front page news. So
if you had somebody come out and said he's treating us terrible from a business standpoint, I guarantee you that headline would light the world on fire in Portland.
Certain media members. Absolutely. So, like, which is, you know, this may continue to happen under Tom Dundon. And if we hear that, we'll continue to pass along, like, hey, what's going on with their business department? But we heard that. Like, this isn't a Tom Dundon thing. This is a prior to Tom Dundon thing. Not great. And what did Tom Dundon lay off mostly in his layoffs? It was the business sector because we're literally the worst business team in the association. So you hear stories like that and it kind of matches up with what the results were showing, which wasn't very good.
Shout out to Keith Wilson for saying if we don't take our role seriously, this whole thing could be imperiled. And also took direct shot at the council members and people who are, you know, criticizing this stuff publicly, saying, quote, good process means sitting down, figuring out the math, and keeping the public informed and empowered every step of the way, not duking it out in the media or on Instagram. Amen. Mm. To that, we'll see what Tom Dundon says in front of business leaders in Portland today and if there's any move of the football forward. Let's get to some football nuggies as this story finally died. And then we'll get to the mail sack coming up top of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fan. Right when I thought I'm pivoting out of the NBA, let's talk some football. We got a max deal.
We got another deal. We got breaking news.
We do have NBA news, not Blazer news, but NBA news.
Damn it.
Do something, man. Do something.
Anthony Davis.
It was not Anthony Davis traded to Portland. It was Austin Reeves.
Lakers?
Signing a 4-year, $185 million deal with a player option for the final season to stay.
Oh, he's staying the Lakers.
He's staying with the Lakers.
Oh, there were people worried he was going
to
bounce.
Yeah, he seemed like to be some teams were sniffing around him a little bit, see what was available.
Yep.
What are our takeaways on Austin Reeves re-signing in L.A.?
I mean, you know.
Good little part.
Yeah, good little player when healthy. He did not have a good end to the playoff because he came back from that injury and didn't
seem
right.
He was hurt at the end of the regular season, right, and then tried to rush him back in for postseason time.
I think he qualifies all-time, doesn't look as good as he is player in NBA history.
Without a doubt. Him, Steve Nash, and John Stockton are the first three that stand out in my mind.
You name white guys.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, can I rebuttal?
Sure.
Stockton absolutely fits under the umbrella of nobody recognized him in Barcelona.
What was his height and weight?
I think legitimately listed at 6'2", but I don't know if he actually is 6'2". I've never stood next to John Stockton.
Neither have I.
I think he's listed at 6'2".
John Stockton is listed at 6'1".
6'1".
170 pounds.
Okay, so let's call
That's literally you. How tall are you?
Okay. I feel kind of offended. Weirdly.
You should not feel offended. He's an NBA player. That's John Stockton.
I'm 6'1".
You're 6'1"?
In shoes.
How much do you weigh?
177 and a half pounds.
It's literally you.
I am John Stockton.
You are John Stockton. Yeah, well, we learned that today.
That's kind of crazy.
At least I don't have the ability to say that any NBA player has the same height and weight as me. There ain't nobody out there that's 5'9 over two bills.
This is why I feel weirdly offended. That's his listed size. What do you think his real size is?
He's probably a little bit smaller than that, to be honest with you. He could be 6 foot.
I don't know.
You might be taller than John Stockton.
Okay, but
let me see Steve Nash
Stockton
height and weight.
At least looked kind of ripped.
Did he?
Go look at his thighs. He had muscle definition. Austin Reeves has no muscle definition.
Did he have thigh muscle definition?
I thought he had kind of biceps thigh meat. Am I wrong here? I always view John Stockton as kind of underrated strong.
I mean, yeah, I guess the short shorts do highlight a little
Austin
bit more
Reeves
of his.
Austin Reeves has no muscle definition.
Late John Stockton, certainly more.
He started lifting, yeah.
Certainly
when
more, like there's
Gonzaga.
Veins popping
yes,
out of
saying.
Arms and stuff late.
That's
early,
all I'm saying.
John Stockton.
Dude, he wore the thigh shorts. You don't wear thigh shorts unless you got some decent leg muscle showing. Austin Reeves has no muscle definition.
Yeah. Are you poo-pooing my Steve Nash comp?
No, I can't poo-poo that much.
Like, if you saw Steve Nash, now
Steve
he's
Nash
listed
is bigger in person.
He's
than,
bigger, yeah. He's listed at
6'3". He's like, you see him in person, you go, holy crap.
6'3", 180.
He's so a massive head.
A little bit bigger, but I feel like if you just saw a 6'3" white guy walking down without any muscle definition, you would never go to the thought of that's an NBA player.
Probably not.
Like,
in
if
the
you
grand
didn't know, if you didn't
league.
See the face, like, if the face was cut off, you just saw a body.
Who is the NFL equivalent to this?
Hunter Renfro.
Well,
yeah, I'm not wrong.
Ladd McConkey.
Ladd.
Hunter Renfro's like in and out of the NFL.
Yeah.
Austin Reeves is a all-star.
He just got a max contract extension.
Got a max contract.
Yeah.
So I don't think it can be a Hunter Renfro. I think
that's
it has
fair.
To be a higher caliber player.
A higher
player.
Caliber player than that. That's a good question. I'll
that's
have
a
to
good,
on that
look,
one.
That's good business for them. He's a good player. Multiple teams wanted him. He's good with Luka. We know those numbers. Like. Yeah, lock up Austin, fan favorite, all kind of makes sense.
It makes sense. That deal just got handed down. And it will not affect their cap situation in the offseason any. They're still going to have some money, depending on what LeBron does, to go out and add to their roster around Luka.
I still think he goes back.
I tend to agree with you,
too. I think he signed. Look, it's good for both sides. If he takes less money, he proved at the end he can fit in with them. He'll understand it's their team.
I'll
I'm
the
here
third
to kind
guy,
of facilitate.
Fourth guy, take over in a moment if I need to.
Exactly. Lead the bench unit. And then the Lakers get to be on the other side of the LeBron retirement tour, which
is going
to
be a cash cow.
I would love for our team to be on the retirement tour. Are you kidding me? LeBron James in a Blazer uniform on the retirement tour?
Yes, sir.
Dream scenario.
Be pretty damn cool. Let me ask this question now as I finally pivot out of the NBA. By the way, Millsack coming up top of the hour. Has the story officially died, or are there more layers to it?
Talking about my football team? Or
No.
Oh.
No. Oh, the practice facility?
Did you see that?
They are looking at moving the practice facility because they're quote-unquote running out of space. Like, yeah, sure, that's what it was.
I was just there last August. Space is not an issue.
They need more parking lots, Sprague. They need more parking lots.
That's certainly fair to be saying, actually. The parking lot is not as big as I thought it
would be. Why don't you just acknowledge, like, look, dude, our players keep bringing this up. They're driving a hard bargain that they want to move the facility, so we're going to move the facility, okay? Well, I don't know if there's any scientific data that that's why our guys are getting hurt.
Well, I think they've actually done data and found no, but, like, you're not wrong. What are they going to do to other areas that are next to electrical substations? Lawsuits everywhere.
Don't put the new practice city next to a data center. Maybe you'll be all right. No, the story I'm asking about is Brendan Sorsby. Is the story dead? God. The NFL told him. You know what the NFL did to Brendan Sorsby yesterday?
Yeah, and I loved people responding. I think it was, who is the USA Today writer? She's really controversial for people. Christine.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
I'm blanking. I'll look it up in a minute. She basically responded because people were like, this is not legal. His lawyer came out and said, we will be filing a lawsuit.
Okay, I'm
in 2023, they passed a thing where basically they can deem what is appropriate.
They can do whatever they want.
And they're like, no, dude, no.
You gambled on. Now, I'd have to go back and remember because there's been guys who have been connected to gambling things in college and then it came out during their NFL time or like.
We've had NFL guys gamble.
And what has happened to them from a suspension standpoint?
Yeah, Jameson Williams, come on down.
Like, yeah, you're not going to play.
Yeah.
So they're not going to let you get taken. They gave him a big old.
Not in my house.
They're not going to do a supplemental draft.
Not today.
Where does Brendan Sorsby play next year? He's homeless.
I think he's going to the Canadian Football League if they take him.
Does he play Canadian football?
I would understand diehard Canadian football fans, Mike Riley looking at you, if you didn't want him part of your league.
Makes sense for them.
If Vernon Adams came out and was like, I refuse to be in a league with a guy like that, I'd understand it.
Is the USFL still going on? Is that still a league?
They would absolutely do it.
They would take him in a heartbeat.
Because you would get at least 300,000 people going, what is he?
Yeah, the NFL had a very stern statement.
Statement?
Yeah, they said his application carries with it a lot of issues. Core of the game integrity issues.
Yes, you think?
Like, yeah, dude, you can't gamble. It's a very long written statement, and they go into a bunch of basically the letter, you know, the petition provides no information regarding the future basis of or timing of the NCAA's decisions. Public sources indicate the determination declaring a permanently ineligible player. They're basically just saying we're not going to allow him into the supplemental draft, and so I don't know if it's dead. He's
Christine
probably
Brennan.
The Christine Brennan, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Will he end up playing in the USFL? Who the hell knows? He ain't playing college football next year. He ain't going in the supplemental draft. And so Brendan Sorsby will be homeless potentially for one full calendar year before he is eligible to, from an age requirement, to be into the NFL draft next April.
Just go away.
Just go away, dude. We're tired of talking about you. You're not that good anyways. Go back into rehab. Your 2 weeks of rehab or should not be over. Why don't we try that one again? Let's go back into rehab. Check back with us in a couple of months. We have a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. A few more thoughts on Mike Anori. Got to answer our poll questions of the day. One of them, do you care about the contract details of the Blazers' new head coach? Yes or no? You can go vote at Trent Sprague on Twitter. We will start, though, the final hour with the mail sack. Get your questions into the fan text line, 503-864-6326. You can throw them in on YouTube or Twitter as well.
Mail
yes, sir. Sack. It's a Sparta TRT mail sack kicking out the final hour next, 105.1 FM The Fam.